Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dan, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Happy Friday, fellas. How's it going?
Doing well.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was fun to have a few days together with the Bears and to get a little bit of, I wouldn't call it news, but maybe a little hint of personality, little idea that you're putting some days together. It felt good.
Big day for David yesterday with Tyson Bagent stealing the show at the podium. That's a big day for the Bagency, of course. And that was part of the personality you're talking about. And I think we're seeing a little bit more each week from Ben as well, which was fun, too.
Well, since you brought it up, so Tyson Bagent, I don't understand how we're not invited to his 200-person pool party in West Virginia.
Correct.
To celebrate his birthday. And I got some pretty significant PCA vibes with the haircut. Is he going for that look?
He's not going for that look, but it's certainly one that people have recognized and said that he said that people have said he looks like PCA, and it's a good person to maybe look like in Chicago nowadays. If you want a doppelganger, you go around and tell people you're PCA, you may get treated a little better. But I'm with you, David. Look, like I don't think I could make it to the birthday party, but I at least wanted an invite, and so yeah. I'm a little disappointed on that one.
I got to tell you, he seems like such a mature guy, the way he talks about his career, and he's going through, and then he mentions, that his sister and him, they're having 200 people. There's like one slide and there's one, like, it kind of like really, like, that's, is that what we're doing? Like, it was just so, I hate to use the word because it sounds like you're patting a guy in the head, but it was so cute.
You can take the kid out of West Virginia, but you're not going to take West Virginia out of the kid.
Listen, I gravitate toward Tyson because he's got a very infectious energy about him, and it's both this playful energy and then it's this like hardworking, like, I am going to squeeze every last drop of potential out of my professional career vibe too. And I think that's cool. It's a good person to have in the room. And, I know that there's been backlash, Tyson Bagent backlash over the last couple of years, but there's really no reason not to like the guy.
So Dan, I know you're not going to get swept away with anything in terms of overstating Caleb Williams one way or another, whether it was growth or regression, but in a mini camp situation, when he had veterans around him in and out of the huddle, the operation, the execution, how would you describe what Caleb Williams looked like in this 3-day period?
Up and down, and to be expected when you're a young quarterback with a new play caller, a new offense, trying to get familiar with things, trying to work from under center more, you're going to have moments that are a little bumpy, and then you're going to have flashes where people go, there's it. That's it. That's exactly what we're looking to see. There was a 94-yard end-of-game situational touchdown drive on Wednesday that sent some of the media out there at House Hall into hysterics. They were ready to plan the parade as if Caleb had just led a Super Bowl drive. And then there's other moments where, Ben will be honest with you, that he said it yesterday out loud, that, like, we're not ready for primetime yet, and there's a lot of work and a lot of grind ahead. There was one moment in Wednesday's practice where Caleb couldn't get the play called in the huddle properly, and he kind of came back out of the huddle, looked back to Ben for assistance, and Ben just pointed at the play clock and said, that's under 20. I can't help you anymore. Figure it out. And he used some other words that might not have made it onto Hard Knocks last year, but that's part of the process, right? Is learning where the bumps are and all of the responsibilities that come with being a high level starting quarterback in this league. I think the Bears are really pushing Caleb to understand just how much is on his plate and how much he needs to accomplish as they get on the runway to the regular season, because this isn't going to be a smooth path as much as everybody wants it to be. There's going to be a lot of bumps in the road between now and probably Halloween.
So it is really interesting to see Ben Johnson and the way that he is behind the microphone, and to get a few days in a row with him, you get a hint of maybe how things are going to look after games, et cetera. But I got to tell you, I'm not sure, like I think it was the middle day, I'm not sure I've heard a coach, when asked, hey, what went wrong on that play? Should he have thrown the ball to someone else? And he just says, no, he was late. You've got to be on time. Like, I know that's the answer, but my God, the splash of water in your face that someone just gives you the answer, just is transparent about it. That is so not football coachy. You know, normally you would get like a thousand, like every little element would be hidden from sight and only revealed quickly through a piece of tape or something. It's just incredible that this guy has no problem speaking extemporaneously and telling you what he thinks about things.
For most coaches, it would have been like trying to decipher one of those magic eye portraits, right? Yeah. And figure out what you see there. And Ben's just like, this is what happened. And I don't need to sugarcoat this. I don't need to blow past it. This is directly what I told Caleb, what I'm going to tell Caleb. And like, this is part of being coached hard. You raised your hand and said, coach me hard. This is part of it. I'm going to be very honest about the mistakes that are made, both privately and sometimes publicly. And we're going to work together to fix them, because that's what we're trying to do here. The Bears are trying to become championship contenders. Caleb Williams is trying to become a quarterback that can start in this league and play at a high level for a decade or longer. And so, like, if you just lean in to the degree of difficulty of that and understand what comes with that, then why are you going to run away from some of the things that have to be done along the process? And I love that so far, right? Like, Ben is, what, 4 months into being an NFL head coach. He's been willing to be forthright and candid, and hopefully he stays down that path, because it's revealing for all of us.
Dan, I don't know if these are dots to connect, but I wanted to know what you thought. So the way that Ben Johnson described the primary purpose or role of an offensive lineman, in this case an offensive tackle. Was pass protection. It was protect the quarterback. And I think that was something that stood out. And I look at that and I see who they drafted in the second round, Ozzie Tripillo, and how Ozzie Tripillo has been taking snaps with the number one offense. Does that put him ahead of Karan Amagaji when training camp begins, if Braxton Jones is late coming back? And how did you view his comments, and where do you think Tripillo is on the depth chart?
That's another example of him just laying out for you how they're going to be assessing this competition when we get into August, right? Like, you're going to be looking for the guy that you feel best about as a pass protector. And so that competition will play out when the pads come on. Both Amagaji and Tripillo have spent the month of May and now here into early June taking reps with the ones, being able to go through these practices, which obviously have major limitations on them compared to what we're going to see at times during camp. And so, look, like, you're going to have competitive periods. You're going to have one-on-ones against defensive linemen that they're going to be judging. You're going to bring two opponents into Halas Hall for a day each, and there's going to be some real scripted, situational, competitive periods there. There's a lot ahead to figure out who's going to be your week one starter. At least you know now what some of the parameters of judging it will be, and we'll see how it shakes out once we get into August.
Yeah, it's interesting because you can see body form and shape when they're just out there running around. There are a couple of guys who've put on some weight, who've done a good job of kind of getting themselves bulked up. It was interesting to hear Roma Dunze talk about that. Yes. It was interesting the other day with Trevon Dexter. That all will kind of disappear when the pads come on, but you will definitely see a different player. Theoretically, if you are bigger and stronger and faster and you've worked the off season.
Well, I like that Rome kind of detailed why he focused on his upper body strength and said, look, like, there's a lot of hand fighting that goes on in the NFL that's at a little bit higher level than I experienced in college. And so I've got to be capable of doing my releases with some power and obviously with some grace as well. And so look, like, that's a guy who during the month of May has shown that he's ready to take a step in his second season. It's going to take a lot of things around him, obviously, to help him make that happen. But that's a true pro, and they've got a bunch of those guys in the building right now that they hope can kind of become the engine of leading this team to brighter days. What that looks like in 2025, I'm not sure, but certainly with the guys that you've drafted on day one of the draft, you want them to be guys that can help you in 26, 27, 28, 29, and into the 2030s.
Roma Dunze also shared with us his individual goals. He said team goals first, but when he said individual goals, he started with 1,000 yards receiving and double digit. He stopped himself, but double digit touchdown receptions likely, if that's what he meant. But Dan, if that's what he meant and that's what he aspires to achieve next year, who's more likely to get 1,000 yards receiving and 10 touchdowns, him or Colston Loveland?
Man, good question. I need to see Colston Loveland on a practice field. I need to see him operating in the NFL before I push him forward on a depth chart. Biggs was joking on Tuesday that last year's race to 1,000 yards between Rome, DJ, and Keenan never really got to 1,000 yards. And so, like, we got to be careful here in Chicago about being ready to chase these really high aspirational goals before the team's ready to walk. You know, you gotta walk before you can run. And I think this point right now, this offense is trying to figure out who it is, who fits where. And then ultimately, I guess to answer your question, I would say that Rome as a veteran has a better chance of getting to 1,000 yards. But there's a lot that plays into how Ben wants to shape this offense.
David pointed out, Ben Johnson was asked to name some players that impressed him in camp.
He said,
give me till tomorrow. Let me go over the tape, which I thought was awesome. And then he came back and sure enough, he rattled off some names. The names he rattled off were
a little
not
surprising.
Well, they weren't the star
players. They're not household names.
They weren't. And it is almost like you're almost encouraging, maybe giving a little whip as well to people by saying, hey, I'm really impressed with the undrafted free agent, the tight end who's been on 5 different rosters. I love the kid they think's overrated. I really like a 7th-round running back and his other player was...
give me all your overachievers.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's essentially what he's saying.
It's very interesting that he chose that method to go.
Encouragement, right? Like encouragement for those guys for sure. Grody and I are going to talk about this on the podcast today because I think the first thing you said is super notable that Ben said, ask me about this tomorrow. And then when he was asked about it tomorrow, he actually had an answer. Some coaches will say that and then the question won't come up the next day and they're just able to skate by. He was very, very prepared and intentional about getting a real answer to the people in the room and Mark Carmen who asked that question twice. I thought that was cool. Another example of Ben willing to engage with the press, which I think is fun for us. We're going to cover this team hard. We're going to cover this team often. And it's nice to have sort of the back and forth be productive and fun and entertaining. Yeah, you mentioned like Joel Wilson. This is right. Like he's bounced around. He's a practice squad voyager, you know, in his third year on his fifth team. and he's on a depth chart behind Loveland and Komet and Durham Smythe, right? Like, so what are his chances of sticking? I don't know, but he's clearly raised some eyebrows here in the month of May and early June. And so then you watch him a little bit closer in August and figure out, okay, does he have a chance to stick around in some capacity on this football team for the season?
Is that a spot on the roster, the practice squad voyager? Is that included in the next CBA?
It might already be there. It might already be there when they expanded it during the last CBA. Yeah, they put practice squad voyager there.
Dan, before we let you go, the Bears play the Steelers November 23rd at Soldier Field. Aaron Rodgers will be on the Steelers. Will he be still in the lineup and healthy? We'll wait and see. But what difference do you think he will make on that team?
I mean, look, like, so glad that he'll have one more trip into Soldier Field. So glad that the Bears will have one more chance to take a big, big, mighty swing at the owner of the team and try to knock him off his perch. I think that's going to be great theater, as it always is with Rodgers. I don't know what he's got left in the tank. I don't know how he's going to function. I don't know if Mike Tomlin's going to sit down in the lunchroom with him and ask him about his theories on medical science or how the government should run. But like, they're going to have a long road to having a productive relationship there in Pittsburgh. I'm just glad that for one Sunday in November, we'll get a chance to see it again up close and personal down by the lake.
Is RFK Jr. going to be at that game?
He might be the assistant quarterbacks coach by that point. I'm not sure.
His old running mate. Wasn't that
correct?
That was the rumor. That was the rumor.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks,
buddy.
Dan.
Have a good weekend. Guys, enjoy the weekend.
Yep.
You as well.
That is Dan Wiederer.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right. According to the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Fire announced plans Tuesday for a privately financed $650 million soccer stadium at the mostly vacant 62-acre site along the Chicago River at Roosevelt Road, giving the team a, quote, world-class home, end quote, and potentially turning the former rail yard into a bustling Southside Wrigleyville. What's your reaction, and what does this mean to the White Sox bid for a new ballpark?
My reaction is this is a huge transformational moment for soccer in Chicago because Joe Mansueto has dug deep and invested into the future of the sport, the future of the franchise, and frankly, the future of the South Loop. This is huge. This is huge news. The Fire just changed everything about what's going to go on at the 78. I think this counts as the White Sox latest loss because they were going to be there. So we thought a year ago, we talked about those possibilities. The Fire beat them to it, and they beat them to it by being ambitious. This was called by Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, as one of the most ambitious stadium projects in MLS history. Think about that, right in our backyard, right in the neighborhood, a few miles away. The Fire it's worth $530 million right now, 24th in the league. I think that price just went up because the plans sound ambitious. They sound transformational. They sound like, boy, why can't other teams in this town be as aggressive and as efficient as this project seems to be right now? early reports are that it, you look at the timetables, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to learn along the way, a 22,000 seat stadium, which will probably be full and probably help that team. So Related Midwest found their partner. It wasn't the White Sox. It is the Chicago Fire. Congratulations to Joe Mansueto, making an impact on the Chicago sports scene and the city overall in a way that says he's committed to the sport and to the city.
Well, anytime you can help the city, I'm all for it. The other key word in the question to me is privately funded stadium. So they're not asking for help from the state or from the city. I am tempted. I haven't done it. Just don't have the time and our goofy hours, whatever. Lots of excuses. But I want to go to this area. Like, I want to see what it's all about. And can is like if you got on the river, can you like go past it? Like on a like yes. a water taxi or
yes.
something?
Yeah, just take a water taxi like you're going to Chinatown. You'll go right by it.
Okay, because I like to see
it. And then you could turn around and come back.
I'd like to see it. And listen, I could have some great dim sum or something in Chinatown. It's always good out there.
You could buy a cheap back scratcher that will prove to be the greatest dollar you ever spent in your life.
Okay, good
tip. Some of us have done.
Now,
in Chinatown?
I bought a back scratcher like 35, 40 years ago for $1.
Yeah.
I still have it. It has given me more pleasure than anything ever purchased in my life.
You know what?
Greatest
now?
Dollar ever spent.
And now it'll have a Chicago Fire logo on it.
It's fine by me.
But you mentioned a 22,000 seat stadium, mm-hmm. and it'll be full.
Yes.
Now that's the question. Now they might for like a year because like everybody's into a new shiny toy. Okay, and I think like bands will want to play there if this venue is as good as everybody acts like it is. But, Mully, this is more for you and really for the group and the texters and the call. Like, will soccer ever make it here? I mean, as a kid.
Make it. I mean, they're averaging 21,000 fans right now.
Yeah, they listen, Dustin, they need a stadium that is soccer-sized. That was one of the things, you know, during the 1994 World Cup, I talked to the executive director of the U.S. Soccer Federation. They said in retrospect, their mistake was they didn't require every city that got games to build a $22,000 soccer-only stadium. Those stadiums weren't that expensive at the time, and they could have built their entire league. They could have had stadiums for every team just by hosting games in those cities. It would have been a great way of combining what the sport was trying to do by selling it, by putting up soccer-only stadiums. This is a stadium that will be like a perfect size for their soccer club. It's going to be great. It would be completely packed. They've been very ambitious. This Joe Mansueto, let me read you this from the Chicago Tribune. This is a quote. This is what the man said. It's my belief that these stadiums should be privately financed. This is a guy who, you know, was from Northwest Indiana and got his MBA at the University of Chicago and began a billion-dollar business out of his Lincoln Park apartment. He says most of the value accrues to the sports teams, so it's only fair that the sports teams shoulder the cost of construction. Wow.
Wow.
If only we had more owners like Joe Mansueto in Chicago.
He sounds like a talk show host or a fan, or he's a guy that understands that you can no longer ask for public assistance for private projects.
Yes, you can't ask. Hey, we need $2 billion in private assistance so we can build up our own pockets to the point where they're overflowing with money. No one wants to hear that. And look what's going on in Springfield as they hear that. What Joe Mansueto has said, this guy, that's the kind of owner you want in Chicago.
It is the kind of owner you want. Certainly the scope is slightly different than maybe a football stadium and project or a baseball ballpark and project. But I think that you have to compliment him for taking advantage of those realities and jumping on board when Related Midwest wanted a partner. He said, why not us? Why not now?
It's unbelievable. We'll have to get more into this, but it is just great to read something like that. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got a lot of people who want to check in, and we'll get to the phone lines.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a lot because I think that it's very fascinating to see how the Chicago Fire approached this stadium project, which is now underway. Get the front page of the Chicago Tribune and go out and buy a copy because it definitely is all over there. And they have the story and the details about what the Chicago Fire and Joe Mansueto, the owner, have done. And you're talking about a massive investment in the South Loop.
And let's start with Andrew. He's in the western suburbs. Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
Morning, fellas. Didn't the Fire build a stadium out in Bridgeview back in 06? And then why did they move out in 19 just to build a new stadium this year?
Different ownership, but yeah, they did have a stadium out there.
What happened? They had a stadium there. It was a very intimate place. It was a pretty good place to see a game. When Joe Mansueto bought the team, he included in the buying price a buyout from Bridgeview, I believe it was located in Bridgeview.
Yes, in Bridgeview.
There was a buyout with Bridgeview, which allowed him to move downtown. His feeling was, we are the Chicago Fire. We should be in Chicago. And I think that the thought process of this is that you build yourself again, they've been looking for some sort of anchor tenant in this project for a long time. They flirted with the White Sox, but there wasn't the private money. Jerry never wanted to spend private money. He wanted a public funded building, and this guy is willing to spend his own money to build this stadium. It's very exciting stuff.
It is exciting. We'll get into it. More people might have opinions. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think about the Chicago Fire and Joe Mansueto planning a $650 million soccer-only stadium in the South Loop.
312-644-6767. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
well, you hope to be here in 2029, but what do you make of the news of Mr. Reinsdorf possibly transferring ownership to Mr. Ishbia?
Yeah, you know what? We've been dialed in so much here. I haven't thought about it or talked to anybody about that at all.
Welcome back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was Will Venable answering the question about the big news of Thursday about the transfer of the White Sox, or of power, of ownership, but Justin Ishbia will be in the mix, according to the White Sox statement by the team. And Jerry Reinsdorf brings us to our next guest, who will join us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. David Sampson is the host of Nothing Personal, and he joins us now. Good morning, David. How are you?
I am doing great. Good morning.
Well, thank you for joining us, because I know that you have thoughts on Jerry Reinsdorf and the White Sox sale to Justin Ishbia. What was your reaction when you saw the news break yesterday?
I think it was people so badly misunderstood this news. The headline was White Sox sold, Jerry stepping down, the end of an era. Jerry Reinsdorf is going to keep running that team until he passes away, and that was always his plan. This change of control could happen when he's 98 years old. That's 2034. That's when Justin Ishbia has the right to take over. Now, in the years before that, Jerry Reinsdorf has the right to give him the team, meaning give over control, but that's never been his plan. From an estate planning standpoint, the Bulls were going to stay in the family and the White Sox were going to be out of the family. This is just standard what he was going to do. And the announcement was done because the White Sox needed current day capital infusion and got it from Justin Ishbia in return for this future date, way far from now, of the carrot of taking over.
And do you have any clue as to what that capital infusion means? I mean, I read everything and I understand the technicalities of it, but I'm just curious, do you have any further understanding of what it means? I mean, are they going to start getting players? Are they going to start getting a building? What exactly changes?
So when you take on partners, anytime you're an owner of any asset, it's something called the sources and uses of funds. The source of funds, in this case, Ishbia. The uses of funds are generally one of three things. One, you pay down debt, meaning you take in money from people and you use it to pay down your debt, which helps with your interest payments, which helps with your cash flow during the course of a year. Two, you take that money, and we did this a lot when we took on partners in Miami or when we took upfront money from TV networks, we use that to pay the operating deficit for a particular year when we wanted a higher payroll than we knew we could afford. So the second reason to take on money is to handle the fact that you're over budget in a particular year or years. And the third reason is when you take on money that is purposed for some capital improvement. In this case, is the money being taken in to be used as a contribution to a new ballpark in an as yet undetermined location without a budget, without any plan at all? I would tell you the third one is unlikely, though possible. And I would say the first two are the far more likely, which is paying down debt or dealing with your deficits that you have in your business this year and next.
Well, that's interesting, because I think that's what we had talked about earlier, David. And I think when you look at the local specifics here in Chicago, earlier this week, the Chicago Fire, the soccer team, announced plans to build a $650 million soccer stadium in the South Loop, and that is a patch of land that still has room for a baseball stadium as well. The White Sox have been linked to Related Midwest, and they wanted them to be the anchor tenant. So I think what we're hearing from you, there's nothing about this news that discounts that possibility from, or maybe the hope from existing, that they could be closer to building the ballpark or starting that project. And maybe, as you suggest, there will be funds additional to increase the payroll. Is that taking too far of a leap?
I would say, and I don't want to, I love you and I love Chicago. I just don't want you to go to bed tonight thinking that Justin Ishbia and his money are your saviors, and that all of a sudden your payroll is going to go up $100 million and all of a sudden there's going to be a ballpark deal announced tomorrow. That's not how it works. It is far more subtle than that, what this transaction was. It was far more based in legal requirements than in any sort of, hey, we're going to be World Series champions in the next year or two. I think that the stadium deal is complicated. What the Chicago Fire did, the White Sox can't do. The White Sox cannot and will not and should not build an arena with private funds. You need a partnership with the public. And what the Fire are doing, it was good PR, but they're going to need public money, too, for infrastructure improvements around the 78 loop. So to me, you know, the White Sox and the Bears are all fighting to figure out who's going to get money how in order to get the stadiums and arenas they want. And what the Fire did was not really upstage them. It was really a separate deal.
So, David, what is in it for the Ishbias?
It's a great question. So there's nothing more limiting than being a limited partner. And you can bet your sweet bippy that Justin Ishbia will not be at owner's meeting sitting next to Jerry voting for who's going to be the next commissioner. You can bet that Justin Ishbia will not be calling Jerry and saying, you know what, I think we should sign Ohtani. There are certain privileges and rights that you get when you are involved in a step transaction like this, where you could have some say for certain things, like a stadium, for example, how a stadium gets built or funded or financed, because that will impact you when you take over way down the line. But for short-term decisions, I would argue that Ishbia is no different than you are. He's just paying a lot more for the privilege.
So then in the context of what the way you just described everything in the previous 5 minutes or so, is this progress or is this status quo?
Well, progress to what?
Progress to begin. We're living in a market in a city where every time you go to a White Sox game, you're likely to hear a chant, sell the team, sell the team. I think Jerry Reinsdorf yesterday made a statement and an announcement that he has sold the team. And I think a lot of people have interpreted that as progress. So I don't think it sounds like you would make that.
Listen,
determination.
If you guys stop chanting sell the team because of a deal that could happen 9 years from now, then God bless you. You don't have the intestinal fortitude that I thought all Chicagoans had. I would say that you just need to add three letters to your chant. Instead of sell the team, sell the team. How about this one? Sell the team now. Sell the team now. Sell the team now. You could add those three letters. Maybe that's progress.
I don't want to be, you know, crude in any way about this, but is it, you have a couple of business people here. You got one guy betting he's going to live forever, and you got another guy betting he's not. Is it as simple as that?
So you're asking a great question, which is, does death, and it, I want Jerry as much as he despises me these days, sadly, and I still love him, always will, is Ishbia rooting for Jerry to croak? Is that really what's going on behind the scenes? And the answer is yes, because in a death event, and of course I have not seen the documents yet, and I don't want to be irresponsibly a journalist, which I'm not, but I would imagine that death does something to this transaction, like accelerates it. There are clauses that you put in these transactions where any change of status in terms of breathing is an accelerant to the takeover provisions. So I would assume that Jerry's death would mean that Ishbia would take over faster than 2034 or even 29 to 33 when it's Jerry's option. But I haven't seen the agreement, so I don't know, but I'll bet you a dollar that's the case.
Before we let you go, we need to ask you a baseball question. Actually, it's something that is including an opinion you have of something going on the field. The Royals are in town tonight. They will play the White Sox at Wright Field at 6:40. Jack Caglione will be in the Royals lineup, presumably. He was called up this week less than a year after he was drafted sixth overall. I gather from your social media posts that you're not in favor of that move and are highly against it. Why?
Boy, I'm getting crushed and I don't know why. It's the easiest analysis in the history of the world. If they had called him up in April, I'd be like, hey, all right, that's nice. But by calling him up in the beginning of June, all you had to do was wait two more weeks and you would delay his arbitration by a full year. That means instead of paying him 900 grand, you're going to end up having to pay him, let's say, 4 million. So you cost yourself 3 million bucks. And then the year after, instead of paying him that $3 million as a first-year arbitration player, you may have to pay him $8 million. So that's another $5 million, which means you just wasted $8 to $10 million in order to get an extra 2 weeks. If you're going to waste that money, you might as well call them up sooner and see what happens. And all the Kansas City people are saying, David, you obviously don't want to win. Of course I want to win. But I waited to bring up Miguel Cabrera until June 18th or 19th because then we got an extra year out of him. We won the World Series, which was great, but we got an extra year of him cheap because we knew he was going to be good. So if you know someone's going to be good, the worst day in the world to call him up is the first week in June. I just don't get it.
Great stuff, David. Really appreciate your time. Really good, interesting stuff.
Thanks, David.
Have a great day.
You too.
That's David Sampson.
Ask me after the parade.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Guess what, guys? It's Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn back on the MLB Network. Rick had made an appearance before, and he doubled down. We got to hear from him again. And I don't know how you feel about it, but you got to hear it. It's Rick Hahn talking about the Fernando Tatis Jr. trade. What went wrong? What was missed? And then, of course, the big question. Why? Why?
If there's a trade you wish you could have a do-over on.
I mean, it begins and ends with Tatis. I mean, what fool would trade him? Here's the thing about Tatis. Obviously, horrible trade. You know, San Diego actually asked for Eric Johnson, who was part of the trade, right-handed pitcher, as well as another arm initially. And we were reluctant to include two arms. The second arm never went on to actually appear.
They didn't even ask for Tatis?
Initially, it was a different arm. It was a different arm. And we pushed back, and we wound up shuffling and pivoting in the end. They asked for Tatis, which they deserve a ton of credit for identifying this guy out of complex ball as someone they wanted. At the time, it was 2016. We were dealing with a team that was 23-10 coming out of the gate. We knew we weren't as good as 23-10. Matt Latos was doing some things with smoke and mirrors early on in that season. John Danks was trying to fight his way back from injury and losing that battle. And we had a manager in Robin who kind of knew that, like, this, if we don't win this year, he might not want to be around too much longer on his own volition. Mm. So there was a lot pointing towards, let's push in to make this work.
Win now.
And obviously, I regret the trade. Obviously, it did not work out the way we hoped because we wound up not winning. And we ultimately, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of finally getting us to rebuild. But I understand, and I think I take lessons with me going forward. But frankly, as part of the rebuild was wanting to have the depth to withstand if you didn't have, you know, if you had failure at one spot on that roster, which we just did not have in sort of this sort of piecemeal patch on the fly technique we were using.
I think he made it worse. They didn't want him. He wasn't going to be part of it. There was some other arm that they deemed was, no, we can't lose that guy. Whatever else happened, who didn't make it? Ah. Fernando Tatis Jr., how old is he? He's still a child. I don't even think he's hit his prime yet. He was like 17 at the time of that trade. Is that right? And I get it. He was like 6 feet tall, and now he's 6'3". Whatever it was, he kind of hit a growth spurt, and he became a grown man, and he's now a guy that is always a favorite for MVP. Wow, that is a tough one to hear.
Yeah.
Is that the worst trade ever? For James Shields, right? Isn't that who they got?
Worst trade ever.
Well, seriously, what is that, the single worst trade? That makes the Lou Brock trade look like a bargain. I mean, that is, you got like a guy, how old is he? How old is he right now? He's got to be like 26, 27. What? How old is he? He's still, He's barely into his prime.
26.
He's 26? Holy mother of God, the guy's had a career. He's on a Hall of Fame track. How do you mess that up?
At least
how do you
here's
even
a silver
talk
lining.
About it? How do you even bring it up?
Silver lining Monday. Oh at least Rick Hahn is taking accountability.
Oh my God.
And admitting that it didn't go well. I don't know. It's tough to hear.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. I'm going to need therapy during the break. Mully and Haw on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.